This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure. I didn't feel no pressure.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again for another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as he does every Tuesday, joining us in studio is family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, always a blessing.
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Now,
what's
Tom,
going on in the
Tom.
World of family law?
We get called misogynists so often, as
yep.
you know. And I have to tell you, Tom, when it's all said and done, I think in all fairness, the things that you say apply to both sexes. It's really true. And when I talk to a woman who's being honest, she even will admit it. The things that we're talking about really do apply. And, for example, I really believe that marriage, for the most part, is a rotten deal for men and women, in all fairness. And we hear the occasional story of some woman getting $1 trillion in alimony or whatever. But believe it or not, that's happening less and less. And in general, things are pretty rotten all around. And so, you know, I certainly advocate for men, and I do father's rights, and I'm known for that. But the world needs to know that I also have women clients, and they have a lot of the same kind of crazy stuff happen to them. And so, to prove the point, I have a guest today that I'm very excited to welcome to the show, who I was in court with today, who is a woman client of mine. Would you believe, Tom?
I would believe that, of course.
And what are we calling her today?
We're calling her Lauren.
Lauren. Laura? Yeah. Lauren.
Lauren.
Okay. Can we bring her on?
She's on right now.
Lauren, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, Adam?
How are you, my dear? How's everything?
After today, hold on. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. After today, I will say I'm doing awesome. Really good.
That's good to hear.
Thank you.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know how well you know Tom, but Tom makes a joke about women that marry or date what he calls a broke dick artist or a guitar player or something. Does that sound vaguely familiar to you?
Oh, my goodness. He just hit the spot. Yeah, that sounds very familiar.
See, Tom, I told you it's all true when you talk, you know?
Right. Very true. And I was one of those who fell for a starving artist. You can put it like that.
Right.
Definitely.
Now,
right.
I, you know, this is something that we tease about. We certainly have our fair share of men getting with crazy women and so forth. But we always tease on the show about how women are unbelievably attracted to guys that are screwed up or guys that are losers or whatever. So
right.
when it comes to the artist, if you were, you know, kind of doing a forensic accounting of what happened, do you have any sense of why you fell for this guy?
Well, it's kind of like he was definitely the bad boy. He was
really?
The lead singer. Yeah. And I definitely wanted, you know, to tame him and lock him down and feel like I could handle a man like that.
I really appreciate your honesty. You know,
Yeah,
it's lovely to hear you say it because we tease this, and Tom has been saying this kind of stuff for years, and it's almost a cliche, but to hear, you know, and I haven't practiced this with you, to hear you just saying it is
right.
delicious because, you know, I think it truly does represent something in female nature. We've
Absolutely.
we've seen examples, for example, Warren Beatty is a famous actor who's supposed to have been with like zillions of women. And he married Annette Bening, And this was the same idea that she was going to be the one who tamed the bad boy or whatever. And, you know, this is I think, generally a fantasy that women have that really doesn't end up working out.
No, that's for sure. And I think it's like, for a woman, I wanted the gratification of him saying that he loved me and he wanted to commit to me for the rest of the life. Like, that's what I wanted to hear.
Right, right. But with the history of never committing to anyone, right?
Exactly.
All right.
So
I love the fact that you're in touch with this. That's amazing. I give you a lot of credit. Thank you for your honesty. So
you did do that,
right? And
I did do that.
And you have a child with this guy. And how long did it take before he was driving you absolutely insane?
I think it was probably we got married right away after like 3 months of barely knowing each other.
Wow.
And I got pregnant probably 2 months after that.
Wow.
And I think when reality hit, when the responsibility of not just going to the parties and living the rock star life, but actually bringing a baby onto the world, is when I was realizing, like, this is not working. We do not communicate well. He doesn't want the responsibility, and he was getting angry with me for kind of taking him away from, you know, the music and that life.
And you and he are not like 20 anymore. You guys are in your 30s, right?
Right. I was 27 at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, when I got pregnant. Yeah.
I've definitely had experience, and I think this is not your case, but I've had a few experiences where the couple, let's say, did a lot of drugs together and partied very hard, and then eventually the woman gets pregnant, has a baby, and it changes her. She's, you know, becomes a little more mature. She wants to be a good parent. She wants to cut out some of that crap and have a more stable life for the child. And unfortunately, she looks at the guy, and he's the same person he's always been, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a classic.
Sure.
So did you use your wifely powers and try to change him? I mean, did you nag or beg, or what was your technique?
Well, that was the thing. I didn't really have a technique. In the beginning, he did try to change. He was all on board at first.
Yeah.
And he kind of quit the band, and he got a day job. And I think when he started having to work is when he really fell into like kind of like a depression and didn't like that type of responsibility. And then he kind of started slowly but surely, you know, begging to go back to the music. And that's when I was kind of seeing that he was kind of like flipping apart. And then when I was trying to put my foot down, and then he felt like I was telling him what he could and could not do.
Right.
And he did not like that.
I think a lot of times the guy, when he gives up his quote-unquote, you know, dream or whatever it was, will have a sense of resentment, you know.
Exactly.
And he'll say to the woman, look, you know, hey, you're weighing me down. I've got all these things I want to do, which may or may not be valid. But the woman at the same time is trying to say, look, I need you to start being a little more, you know, normal income because we have this kid. And the guy will turn around and feel like a resentment and an anger towards the woman for, you know, kind of holding him back or making him give up his crazy friends or whatever it was.
Exactly. And I think we both kind of went through a period at one time. We both were feeling lost, and we kind of didn't know what to do, and we didn't have the help that was needed because it takes a village to raise a kid. And it just, like, we fell through, like, we didn't know how to communicate about it. And then he resented me and started also resenting the baby at one point.
Wow.
You know, and then at one point, you know, the intimacy disappears pretty quickly when that happens. And that became another issue.
Well, that's, you know, that's the classic marriage story, and particularly after a child. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, and again, I don't criticize you personally, but, you know, sexuality is very affected by pregnancy and childbirth, right?
Yep.
And as a woman, no, I mean, it's a fact. I mean, seriously, as a woman, your body is going through a million changes, right? And, you know, your husband is sort of confused. You look different. You're fat. You're bloated or whatever. It's very dramatic for a woman. And you have the baby, and then afterwards you're exhausted, right? You go through a lot of different things.
Exactly. And that's what happened. I think I fell into, like, I was exhausted, and I was definitely not giving him the attention that he wanted because there was just no time. It was the baby all day and then go to bed, basically, for quite some time. So I know at that point, that's what I felt like where I was failing as a wife, not having those desires or even interest in that at all.
Right. I think actually that there's some biological thing to that. I think that you know, when you have this baby newborn, it's completely helpless. It's really dependent on the mother, especially. And I think that nature doesn't want you to get pregnant again too quickly. I've read some books about this. So, you know, when your partner is sort of coming on to you, you're pushing him away because your body is like, I can't get pregnant now. I need to concentrate on the baby, you know?
Right.
So that may even be part of it, you know, just really kind of, you know, rejecting intimacy and drives the guy away, obviously, you know, after, you know, not too long.
I mean, it became like a huge distance between us. All of a sudden, we didn't take long before we almost became strangers in a way. We didn't talk anymore, and it was almost like just get the duties done during the day and with lack of communication, for sure.
Now, we have a stereotype we talk about on this show, and I've had a lot of cases of guys where the woman was a very spiteful bitch and gave him a hard time in court and so forth. And you were really, when you called me and first hired me a few days ago, you weren't asking for that at all, right?
No, that's right. I don't want that. I actually know that London or my daughter is definitely going to need her dad in her life. And I want the same thing, but I want also. And I think that's where going to court as a woman sometimes feels like it's intimidating and it's scary because there's a lot of guilt involved, for sure. And I think that's where you have come in really, really handy and helpful, for me at least.
Well, I was trying to give you the approach, and this is important to me. You know, if I have a woman client especially call me and say, you know, I really want to screw this guy out of his kids, I won't take the case. I don't think that's fair. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be engaged in something like that. And,
that's amazing.
You know, when I was talking to you, and I'm glad that we focused on this, you always said that he's a good father and you don't want to, you know, make things bad for your daughter and him and et cetera, and mess up the connection or whatever. And, you know, you were actually very hesitant to go after him, right? You're talking about guilt? Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think that's it. And that's when as we both know, I didn't always listen to you when I should have, because I was feeling the guilt and you obviously knowing what you're talking about, giving me the right advice, and I didn't take them at first. And then later on, I got to experience that was a mistake, because you were right.
Well, when we were talking about it, you know, you didn't anticipate some of his immaturity, right? And he kind of
exactly
did some spiteful things to you in a way.
Yeah. Exactly. I didn't see that coming.
Do you get the sense, I mean, something I've talked about a lot, I think that the family courts have tried very hard to try to normalize the things between the two sides. You know, we always say that it favors women. But did you feel that in court? Did you feel like it's kind of rigged towards women or it's just neutral?
No. Today, I was glad I actually got to see a part of it, and I really feel that they're trying now to be also go in the dad's favor, which is good. And it seems like the court seems to know that a child needs both parents in their life. And I feel like that's what they're trying to make work. And it's not that it automatically just goes to the mom.
Right. Because it always seemed when I won cases for the father that everyone was shocked, you know?
It was like, right.
How that never happens. How can that be, you know?
Right, yeah. It seems like everybody I talked to before I decided to go ahead, they're like, oh, it's a woman's state. You'll get everything. You'll get full custody. And I was just like, after talking to you, I was like, oh, that may not be the case. I think it's going to be more of a trying to figure out what's going to work best for the both of us. And I'm actually glad, because that's the ultimate goal that I have. And I know that that's going to be the best for my daughter.
So
the long term.
So we went in today. We got some orders, right? You won right away, right? So that was good.
That was very good.
Were you surprised?
I was nervous today, but I was very surprised. But I trusted you, and I knew that you wouldn't have gone ahead with this if you didn't think I'd have a good enough case. So I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm really glad. You
that
know,
went through.
One of the things that we did, which is something I like to do with new clients, is to either sit in the court that we're going to have our case in, watching other cases, or at least to sit in some court to watch what it looks like. And you did this with me for a little while today, and you had a really funny observation. You were talking about how quick it was. Could you explain what you meant by that?
I think, you know, when I think of the court and going in for a hearing, I think, like, in your mind, you think, like, oh, I'm going to go in and present a whole case, and it's going to go back and forth, and it's going to be a long, like, going on for hours. And I realized this is taking like minutes before they're moving on to the next case. So that's where I was like, wow, you really don't have a lot of time when you get to the court, because they probably don't have a lot of time. And I think that was the most shocking to me, that it's in and it's out.
It's
sure.
Not a joke. I mean, you know, sometimes it's really shocking to people, especially when they don't have an attorney. They say, oh, I didn't get a chance to talk. It was so fast, you know. And the judge typically has 30, 35 or more cases to hear, generally just in the morning, you know. They try not to have too many go into the afternoon, or maybe there's a trial in the afternoon. So it's only, a few hours from like 8:30 to like noon. Plus they take breaks and there's like setting up things and all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, the judge has to keep it moving. Boom, boom, boom. And so people have this idea that the judge is this kindly old man, and he's, you know, sitting in a reclining chair with a pipe, and he's sitting there, you know, sort of listening to both sides and sitting there and contemplating, and, you know, it's actually not like that at all, right? I mean, it's like chop, chop.
Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed. I was like, wow, this is going really fast. And I think that's when I'm glad that when you do have a lawyer, you're prepared and you know this before going in hand, so you're more prepared instead of going in and have no idea what to expect.
Well, the thing is they're making major decisions about your life that are really going to affect you, you know?
Exactly. And so you better be prepared, because you have a couple of minutes and you don't want to waste those.
It's not a joke. Your paperwork has to be really good, but then also the presentation. When they, by the way, even when you have a lawyer, a lot of lawyers that I deal with are sitting there going blah, 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 and you can see the judge getting really upset, you know? I'm in there and I'm like right to the point, you know? And the judge, it's not a joke. And the judge asks me a question and I answer exactly what he asked or she asked. I don't BS around, because they are going to make a decision that could be against you, and they're going to do it quick, and it's going to be a done deal. And then you're walking out of there, and your client, by the way, a lot of times my client, even when I've won, done very well, my client's in the hallway saying to me, what happened? What did they say? Because it's so intense, you know, and they're like, you know, here this big decision was made that's going to affect their future and their children and everything. And we've done what we wanted, which was great. I'm in a good mood. I'm saying, well, we won. We kicked ass. And my client says to me, we kicked ass. That's great. What did we kick? What happened? what did he say? What did that mean? I don't understand. You know, and I got to sit there and convince him, you know, we won. Look what happened. Because it's so, you know, fast and very rapid fire, and it's technical. You know, a lot of the things that they say are, you know, kind of legal terms and so forth. And people don't understand. And it's very easy, I think, in a situation like that to get trampled, you know?
Yeah, just like when we went in today, that went so quick. You just called me up and were like, oh, we got approved. And I was like, what? that was it?
Yeah.
That was.
Well, we know. I got you custody, right? I got you a restraining order.
Yep.
I got
that
you
was great.
Protections and all this stuff. And we really set up the case in the right direction. And you're going to see that setting it up in the beginning correctly really makes a difference. And, you know, people don't even realize this. This is a shocking thing. But your husband actually hired a lawyer, and he didn't even show up to court today.
I know.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I even told some of my friends, he didn't show up. That's like the weirdest thing. I don't understand what happened there.
It's shocking, and he definitely knew about the hearing. There's no two ways about it. But I have to tell you, it is amazing to me how often that happens. And I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's like malpractice. But people say, oh, I've got a lawyer. He's taking care of the hearing. Oh, yeah? Are you sure? Because, you know, he's going to tell you some BS story. Oh, I tried it and we lost. I'm sorry. And what you don't even know is that he didn't even go to court. I mean, I can't imagine. Listen, you know, I'm obviously on your side. But I feel bad in a way that, you know, whatever it was, you know, your ex-husband-to-be didn't have his side represented at all. I mean, he gave money to some schmuck who took the money and didn't even bother to go to court. That's astounding. You got to admit.
Exactly. And that's why I appreciated you asking me if I wanted to come today and just to see and be there. And I love the fact that I got to see it and it was hands-on. And, I like that.
Sometimes, I mean, you didn't technically have to be at today's hearing.
Exactly.
And I have to tell you, I'm really glad you did go, of course. It was good to meet you and work with you in the courthouse and all. But I have to tell you that a lot of times when someone doesn't go and then I kind of get on the phone and tell them what happened, it becomes like unreal to them, you know? And they're like, what do you mean? They said that. They signed this, you know. In some ways, the fact that you were actually present and watching the machinations of what was happening is good for you, right? I mean, this is for real.
Yeah.
Here it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Y'all also put me at ease at one point because I've been, you know, very nervous about this whole process. And it helped me just being there and seeing it and being in the moment. And it helped me at least to be there.
But I think you were kind of climbing the walls a little bit for a couple of days there.
Yeah, yes, I wasn't doing too good.
We had the long weekend. Yeah. We had the 3-day weekend, and you were, you know, texting me like, I'm freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. But
yep.
I'm really glad we did it. I'm really glad it kind of, you know, came full circle for you. And obviously, we're just starting, but we're definitely on the right track. And I have to say, you have to admit, I think when you really boil it down, I don't think you were hysterical. I think that you're... Your ex was really kind of a bully, don't you think? I mean, wasn't he crossing the line?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also hard. I think that's why I like when I first talked to you, how you almost immediately could describe my relationship with me just saying a few words. And it was nice to finally have somebody who understood me. And I actually, after our conversation, I cried at first because I was like,
oh, really?
I haven't been able to put this in words for so long because I've been trying to explain to people how I feel and how it's been. And you just knew right away. So to me, that's like, huge help knowing that you know what I'm going through and you're definitely taking the steps towards making it easy for me, and that's been amazing.
No, I appreciate you saying that. I'm a little sad to you know hear that I made you cry. It's
no,
very...
but in a good way, because it was good to finally hear somebody else understanding what I was going through, and that was almost like a relief. And then I just like cried for the first time in a long time because I needed to hear it out loud. I think that's
nice.
What it was.
And you know, I really appreciate that, and I try. It's very, very difficult because, you know, in a way, when I'm first talking to someone especially, I'm sort of like a salesman. I'm trying to convince you that you need my services and I'm going to help you, you know? And I want to be honest, which is, you know, to tell you what the hell's going on. I don't want to sugarcoat it, but I've had a lot of people tell me later, oh, you were so harsh, you know, you were so, you know, you were very tough with me. And it's like,
well, people don't like hearing being told, like, honestly sometimes.
Right.
The problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think the truth is something that we, you know, we see on, like, they're talking about in the media a lot about fake news, you know, and things like this. And it just seems to me that a lot of people, you know, quote unquote, don't want to hear it, you know. And
exactly.
I feel like, you know, when you started laying it on me, I've been doing this a long time. So, I mean, I could kind of recognize certain patterns about what you were saying. And it was like, okay, let me ask you this. Does he do this? Does he do that? And you're going, oh, my God, that's exactly what he does, you know?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know,
nailed it.
I don't want to, like, you know, break your heart or whatever, but at the same time, you needed to also get a little kick because a lot of what you were saying to me was, do you think we should do something? You sure we have to go to court, you know? And it's like, hell yes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I've been dragging this for a year, so
really?
I'm glad I'm finally taking the step because this would have been going back and forth, and having a agreement just between a person you're breaking up with is probably the worst idea I've ever had.
You know? It was like a handshake, you mean?
Yeah, and it's just, it always seems like a good idea in the beginning, but when lack of communication starts to happen or jealousy or something like that, it just...
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it's too much time. If you have a young child, you guys are going to be dealing with that for the next 15 years, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, people are unpredictable. People want to move away. As you say, they want to get remarried, all kinds of stuff, new relationships.
Right.
So it's not going to work out. You need to have court orders. And I have to tell you, Lauren, I've had cases where a woman in your situation waited 5 years to finally do something in court after all kinds of crazy stuff. So I don't think that a year is the worst I've ever heard. I think you got your act together. It took you a little while, and that's life.
Exactly. But I feel peace is coming at one point, and now we can finally move forward, and it's going to be the best thing for my daughter as well because we're going to stop the arguing, and now we have a court. It's on paper, so there's nothing more to argue about, basically.
Right.
So that's going to help a lot.
I think that's a good thing. That's a good way of settling matters. So anyways, great working with you today, and I do appreciate you coming on. Do you have any brilliant suggestions to people? I mean, do you want to tell from your experience, anything?
I definitely feel like if you are in a situation and you are thinking about going through a divorce and all this, like, call Adam, first of all, and take the legal advice that you get, because they're there for a reason, and you guys definitely know what you're talking about, and it's not wrong to ask for help. You know, it's a good thing.
By the way, as someone who's been divorced four times, let me just put this into the mix. Cut your losses, everybody.
Right.
Don't wait for things to get better. They're not going to get better.
Exactly.
You know what I tell? You know what I tell people who are married? You know how things are today? This is the best it's ever going to be.
Right. Very true.
So if you don't like the way it is today, it's time to go.
Exactly.
I hope springs
very true.
Eternal. Lauren, didn't you also like break up and get back together once or twice or something?
Oh yeah, definitely. Try that. Tried moving apart and then moving back in. But it's like once the relationship is broken and the trust is gone and you've had those first nasty fights, it's never going away. It might be better for like a couple of months, but you get back into it pretty quickly. It's like you need to know when to quit. That's what I've learned this time, that when it's over, it's over, and you have to take the steps to finally finalize everything. But yeah. It doesn't get better.
I think that's really
it
hard. It's hard to recognize, but that's really true.
All right, Lauren, thank you. Good luck. I'm sure we'll get an update on what happens with your case.
No doubt.
Adam. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break here, Adam, and when we come back, we've got callers for you.
All right.
One caller says his ex filed for bankruptcy, and he's a creditor for $8,000.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can, actually. And here's another guy. He's going through a divorce, had a custody hearing, and he filed the paperwork late.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not good.
So this is all coming up, and that includes your calls. If you need legal advice right now, family law attorney Adam Sachs is here to help you. At this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. It's the bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs at your calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number. 901-3000-866. Here is Sam in Ahwatukee, Arizona. Sam, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Tom. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Sam.
Great.
So how's Sue treating you?
All right, good. Hey, shitty. So I've learned an awful lot, as much as I could, as a creditor. It's so hard to research how to get through a Chapter 13 when
right.
You're a creditor. It's very hard to research that stuff. Your hands are tied. Basically, the ex has 19 months left on her 60-month, Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
Right.
She owes me $8,000. That's what caused her to go in. She has about $300,000 in unsecured debt, you know, part of this plan. But last week, her lawyer filed a motion to pay it off early with the help of her mom paying into this. You know, paying off the rest of it for her. And I'm going, well, that's bullshit. That's extra, you know. Why doesn't that money get added to the pot and continue with the plan? The real kicker here is that back in August, with the help of the U.S. attorney, filed a motion against her to dismiss or kick it into Chapter 7 because she didn't pay her taxes for 3 years. So there's $60,000 there in taxes that she wasn't paying. You know, she went into a Chapter 13 to keep her practice that we opened up together. I drained me completely keeping the practice open. But I guess
what kind of
my deal is it was a dental practice.
A dental practice. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a dentist?
A periodontist, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And trying to get her to pay is like pulling teeth.
Yeah. That is the truth, Ruth. it drained me. I mean, all my inheritance went into keeping this practice open for years, and once all that was gone, then we split up. She figured there's no money left. We ran up lines of credit to keep, you know, the cash flow. I am the epitome of a beta male here. So, and I'm recovering.
Well, let's be fair to you. I mean, if she's a periodontist, she's educated, right?
Highly educated.
Something like 1 million Americans declare bankruptcy every year, and it's sad. It's depressing. It's a terrible thing to do. But, you know, when you settled up your divorce with her, I don't know exactly how you did it, or your lawyer or whatever, leaving debt where she's going to pay you over time or pay you later is generally a mistake, because you're opening yourself up to this kind of BS.
Yeah.
No, I understand, but you're in the position where your ex-wife owes you $8,000 or whatever, and you're lucky it's only $8,000. I mean, I've talked to guys that it's much, much larger. Sorry?
Yeah, it's $8,000, and then I paid off another $8,000 during the bankruptcy a couple years ago. The trustee, he wouldn't allow it, you know, to me to add that to my pot. And obviously, and then there's still another $7,000 that is I'm on the hook for if this gets dismissed, and then there's another $3,000 probably due to a preferential settlement payment that I received immediately before she filed bankruptcy. The beauty of it also is that, hey, she takes a trip to Ireland right before she files bankruptcy, you know.
Yeah,
and
I'm just that's like, the kind of nonsense that goes on. You know, when the idea of the bankruptcy law, you know, especially with respect to personal bankruptcy, was not to have debtor's prison like they had in England, where people would, you know, go to prison for owing money, and people that would have, you know, debts from generation to generation. The idea was that you had overextended yourself, you had lost control, and you had a chance to start over. And the real key is what's called prioritization, which is that the different kinds of debts you have, for example, she apparently owed taxes, that never goes away. Student loans never go away. And then there are certain debts, particularly debts to banks that are like secured creditors. They tend to be made whole, which means that they get what they are asking for. And then there's unsecured creditors who may end up getting zero or may end up getting a percentage. And you've heard this on TV where they say, you know, he got 20 cents on the dollar, which means that he only got one-fifth of what he was owed. And a lot of time unsecured creditors end up getting zero. So, you're doing her restructuring, which is what's called Title 13, Chapter 13. And then it goes into 7, which is the real bankruptcy. And a lot of those processes have changed over the years. They've been made more difficult and more strict. But it seems on some level that she may have just been a con artist. I mean, if she was going bankrupt and then going to Ireland on a vacation, that's kind of strange. So I'm sorry if she owes you $8,000 or more, but you may be better off just, you know, being done with her, right? Isn't that the real bonus here?
Yep, exactly. It is done on that point. It's more of, hey, I'd like to get this thing, the IRS, to fulfill. And that should come up in early February, their motion to dismiss, but it sounds like they're on board with her early paying this off. There was a statement in the motion saying that, hey, you know, that it sounds like the IRS is on board. I'm going, huh? That's bullshit. Ideally I would like it to get to a Chapter 7 or obviously be dismissed, I think, as marital debts.
Well, yeah,
what I understand.
The government doesn't walk away from taxes, generally speaking.
No,
so if the IRS was unhappy with the settlement, or they felt that she was procuring her bankruptcy through fraud, they want to dismiss it or whatever. But I'm just telling you, and I you know this hurts, but if you spend more than $8,000 of your time, blood, sweat, and tears trying to get $8,000, it's not worth it. And you may be lucky that you got away with your skin. And, you know, they always say, why does divorce cost so much? Well, it's because it's worth it. This woman obviously was a lodestone. You were trying to prop up her practice or putting all your money, your inheritance, and whatever. And I know it's distressing and people get focused. I've had people talk about much smaller amounts where they say, you know, that bitch owes me $300 and I'm getting it. It's not the money. It's the principal and all that stuff. I got to tell you, you may be better off washing your hands. And if not, make your claim, put it in bankruptcy court, demand the $8,000, and let the chips fall where they may, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is it, you know, do you have an estimate on what it might cost to file the counter to her motion?
Yeah, I understand. It sounds to me like that's all you have to do.
A couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, less than 500, certainly. You need to basically, list yourself as a creditor, make sure you're on the thing, try to get it to be secured if that's possible. And if she's doing this thing to dismiss your claim, then you need to write an opposition, is what you're saying, essentially.
Yeah.
That's not that hard.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. And that's where I'm reasonable to where, I mean, if it's more than a grand or something like that with,
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about, the rationality of spending a lot to only collect something small.
Yeah.
You know, there's also, as I said, a psychological cost, which is you putting your life into this bullshit with this horrible woman when you should be actually celebrating with champagne that she's out of your life. And don't worry about being a beta male. I think this experience is going to be very good for you, and you won't make this mistake again, right?
Oh, no fucking way.
There you go.
All right, Adam.
You're already way ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah, and I've saved a pile of money, and that's the good part about it. Is I've gotten out of, I could have declared bankruptcy on all that stuff.
Well, that would have been a real mess.
I did the right thing, and I tried to settle where I could and paid everything off, and then now I've got a chunk of change to play
Just
with.
Just think about where it's going to be approximately 5 years from now. You're going to be doing great. Your whole life's going to be turned around, and she's going to be right in the toilet where she is now.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. You guys do a great job here, and I appreciate. I mean, every Tuesday, I like to tune in.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you guys take care. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Hey, pleasure. Thank you for the call. Good luck.
There you go, Tom.
We'll take a break here.
What did I tell you?
Yes. I know. Wow.
I don't. You know,
sounds like a bright guy too.
It's something that you said many times. I don't think women are very good with money, Tom. Seriously.
Well, I've never met a woman. Now, of course, there's an occasional person who works in Silicon Valley, I understand. But your average woman is not big on arithmetic, checkbook balancing. Your average woman falls for signs that say 30% off.
Right.
Without realizing the store probably raised prices by 25% before they offered that sale. They don't get it. They don't care. And I do believe that people should have separate finances. If your wife wants to start a business, that's great. Hope she can get some financing because she's not getting it from me. And do you know how many women I've been with, married or not, who want to open coffee shops, flower shops,
right,
and other kinds of businesses?
Someone else will run it for me.
Right, in 100% of the cases, these women had no background. And not only that, when I said, well, if you want to run a flower shop, why don't you go work for a flower shop first and find out what's going on behind the counter? You know, where do they get flowers from?
Right.
How do they know how much to pay for flowers? How do they know what the profit margin ought to be? Don't you need to do that for a living? But most women, I really love flowers. You know, I've been getting them my whole life. And,
all right.
And I just want to be in that business, you know. But I say, fine, go get a job at a flower shop. No. I'll just hire a manager. Well, what is the point of that? Makes no sense. So, all right, you're an orthodontist or whatever, a periodontist, whatever you are. Fantastic. You go do what doctors do. Go get a loan. Open your practice with a loan. And then pay it off with the proceeds from your business. And if that doesn't make sense financially, you're in the wrong business.
It's interesting that considering the money that could be made in doing, periodontics and whatnot, that she couldn't get her act together. And this poor guy.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact, I think, that many people, and it's not just women, many people, they like the concept of being in a business or having business cards or having letterhead or having a logo or being incorporated. But they don't like the day-to-day grind of having to do the books, pay bills, cut costs, find an office, get a reasonable lease for your office. These are all things we had to do to set up this business.
Sounds complicated.
Guess what? Not only is it complicated, but I know many people who own other kinds of businesses. And what was surprising to me and what I have learned is that almost every small business has essentially the same issues. When you look under the hood, it's the same thing. Everybody's trying to learn how to use Excel spreadsheets. Everyone's trying to learn how to use QuickBooks. Everyone's trying to find financing. So the only thing that's different is the kind of product or service you're offering. And other than that, I have a lot in common with just about everybody I ever meet who's in a small or medium-sized business.
It's crazy. I saw this guy was talking about becoming a musician, and they were talking about, you know, what he should do. And one of the people said to him, you should study accounting, you know?
Yeah. Well, by the way, don't laugh.
That's all businesses, you know?
Don't laugh. Mick Jagger has a degree in finance.
From the London School of Economics.
So why are the Rolling Stones still going and still making so much money in their 70s? And Mick Jagger's smarter than he looks.
No doubt about it.
You know, so it's a common problem. And I think an awful lot of people want to start businesses. They don't like being told what to do. You know, they want to work for the man anymore. But they don't realize that, you know, one thing the man does, he hires a bookkeeper, he hires an accountant. Somebody else is doing the books. And so the boss could just come in and be the boss. But if you start your own business, you got to be prepared for all of the nitty-gritty underneath the surface. And another rule I would give to anyone who's married out there, never finance your wife's business. Never. I'll tell you how little research women do. One woman I was with, and I won't specify, because she'll probably sue me or make my life difficult. One woman said to me she wanted to open a Starbucks.
Really?
Now, you know how much she was not interested in doing this in reality? Anyone who knows anything about Starbucks knows Starbucks does not have franchises.
Right.
With a rare exception of Magic Johnson.
Right.
They own virtually every location. And you can't get a Starbucks. You can't open a Starbucks. You can't do it.
Right. So she wasn't exactly doing her background research to any serious
degree.
She
could not be bothered to dial the 206 area code and call the corporate headquarters and say, how do I get a franchise?
Or look at their website, perhaps.
Whatever. You Google it. I want to open a Starbucks. And her reason for wanting to open a Starbucks is she loves to go to Starbucks.
Right. That's pretty.
So you have women who want to open these businesses that are products they like. I love getting flowers. I thought it'd be nice to own a flower. Well, do you know the profitability of a business like that? Have you ever worked in that business? Did you ever have to order 1,000 roses? Do you know what you'd have to pay for 1,000 roses and how they'd be delivered? How you'd keep them fresh? Do you know? I don't. Do you know? You know, I got into a business that I've done my entire life, so I know everything about it. When we opened for business, we knew how to put out a 3 or 4 hour radio show. We knew it. So all we had to do was learn the other parts of the business, which was, you know, QuickBooks and Excel spreadsheets and, you know, how we're going to finance it and what our profit margin ought to be. But, you know, I think everybody who wants to start a business as whatever, you know, it's interesting. In the business you're in, Adam, it's institutionalized. You work as an intern, right? They send you to a law office, and you know how billing works, and you know how cases are prepared, and you get a general idea of how it feels to be in a law office all day before you open your own.
I think you'd be surprised how many lawyers don't have a clue about that, actually.
No, I wouldn't be. I just know that people I've known have gone to law school, and that includes my nieces and others who I've known for a long time. I know what they've done. I know what they've had to go through. I'm aware of it. And many of them get that kind of training so that when they are graduated and they've got a degree, that they are prepared to do what they have to do. And many of them know enough not to start their practice on their own. Many of them will go to work for another law firm. And maybe they stay there forever at a law firm that owned by someone else. Or at some point they spin off and do their own thing when they're ready to do it. And I'm amazed at how many people just, they don't want to know about the business. They don't want to know. You know, people I know studied law and failed. They like the idea of being in court and arguing in front of a jury, you know, like TV shows they've seen. They have no idea what the grind is like.
Pretty terrifying.
I think. Well, yeah, I believe me, I feel your pain. I know. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of things to learn that have nothing to do with the law, like bookkeeping. And you either have to hire somebody to do that or you have to be familiar with it.
I'm telling you, Tom, everyone is looking to eat you alive. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. That includes people who are your clients. That includes your competitors. That includes the regulators. I know. Let's take a break here because we got more calls. I want to get them in here. Our next caller is the guy who filed his paperwork late. So we'll welcome him to the fray coming up here. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs and your calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Here's Enrique in Ventura, California. Enrique, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hi, actually my name is Rick. Hi guys, how are you?
Hey Rick.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, my situation is this. In December 15th of 2016, I had a custody hearing. I wanted a joint custody of our son. And maybe like in early November, I want to say like the beginning of November, I went to my attorney's office. We filed the response because she filed her, I forgot what they call it, a statement. Then I went over there. I completed the response. But my attorney, I had the, I guess it's her habit to file the response and the financial disclosures together.
So
but what happened is that
you have a woman attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that bad?
Yeah, that's really bad.
Oh.
Keep going.
Okay, well, that's strike one. I think her habit was that she would file the financial disclosure and the response together. But the financial disclosure from her other attorney was constantly wrong. And I think she kept on calling them, corrected. Anyways, long story short, she filed it, I think, 3 or 4 days before our hearing.
Right.
Then when we got to court, the attorney said, where's the response? I didn't receive it. And my attorney said, yes, I sent it. I think it was like an express service they have. But anyways, we took a break when she made a copy of the response, gave it to him. Then there was another break. He wanted to review it. After that, he came back and said, well, due to the circumstances, I can't give a full judgment. So I'm going to grant my ex-wife temporary custody where I only get 2 hours a week during the week visitation and every other weekend.
Wow.
So basically, I'm pissed as hell, but at the same time, like, where do I go from
here? It's not the right word. I mean, you know, I have a book that I use and a calendar and also on my computer. This is the nightmare of every lawyer. I mean, you have so many cutoffs and deadlines, and they're very, very specific. which is, you know, how many court days and how many days the response. And it's different if you serve it by mail or in person. But you've got to match those things. And filing stuff late is just asking for trouble because the other lawyer says he didn't get it, like your wife's lawyer. And the judge doesn't like it. It's not professional. They might let it slide a little bit when you're representing yourself, and they may not. But when you're an attorney, they expect you to do these things. And, you know, it's really unimpressive that your lawyer filed the stuff late.
Don't be sorry.
I mean, it's just what's at stake? You're not arguing over a house. You're not arguing over a bank account. You're arguing over your children and custody and visitation, which is priceless, you know? And when I see a lawyer like your lawyer being stupid and careless and committing malpractice, really, when you talk about someone's children, and the ultimate effect is that instead of having, you know, 50-50, which is what you should have, which is shared custody, you're getting 2 hours and then every other weekend, that's shit. That's terrible. It's a terrible order. And, you know, that's because your lawyer was careless and didn't bother to file the documents because she's filing them with the other document. I mean, that whole story doesn't really make a lot of sense. And that's just really unfortunate. I mean, you know, I definitely fight hard for people when financial things are on the line, like, you know, money or stocks or bonds or whatever. But when it comes to people's family and their kids and visitation and custody, you know, I dot all the I's and cross all the T's because I can't look my client in the face having lost, you know? And what your story is just sounds so sad. It just makes me feel bad that you went in there, you know, with some half-baked crap that wasn't, you know, done correctly, and your lawyer basically didn't do you any favors. It sounds like she really messed up. And when it comes to kids, I wouldn't take any chances, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, she said we have a couple more chances to get you 50-50. But I told her, you know what, this is late. I went in like 3 or 4 weeks before to file the response. I took a couple of hours from work.
I don't understand. Why are you filing the response if she's your lawyer? I don't understand that part.
Well, I'm sorry, not filing, but when I go to her office to kind of give my response or to kind of the interview.
Oh, you had to take off work?
Excuse me?
You had to take off work to do that?
Yeah, only because of the hours. And also, at the time, I was interviewing, too, so I was kind of mixing both.
All right, well, I really try to avoid that with my clients. You know, my clients at work, regular day jobs, I'll do an interview on the phone or I'll see them on the weekend or something because I don't want them to miss work. You know, that's only going to make things more complicated for them. And these answers and these things, that you're making it sound a lot more complicated than it is. I mean, if you have a basic situation and there's no issues of, you know, child abuse or whatever, you know, it's pretty routine for you to ask for joint custody and shared approximately half and half time with the kids. And, you know, so there's certain adjustments and maybe working certain days makes it more difficult or something. But the judge and the courts want to do that. For them not to give that to you means that your lawyer really botched it all up. And, I mean, I don't know who it is. I don't know the story. But I think you're pretty close to maybe needing yourself a new lawyer and to file a new petition with someone who knows what they're doing and getting this corrected. Because it's absolutely no reason, particularly if your children are, you know, wanting to be with you and you want to spend the time with them. It's really sad. You know, I feel like fathers are getting screwed in the sense of only having your kid every 2 weekends or whatever. So in other words, out of a whole month, you only have them for, you know, 2 weekends. That's sad.
Yeah, 2 weekends and 2 hours during the week. That's,
you know, so you're essentially nothing. You're what's that, 5%? I mean,
yeah, and also another thing, she uses me kind of as a babysitter. When it's her weekend, she wants to go out. She'll say, I have to run an errand. Yeah. I'm like, I'll do it because I want to spend time with her, but what kind of errand are you going to run at 2 in the morning or whatever?
Yeah,
come on.
That's a classic woman thing, very typical to, you know, kind of exploit the father to watch the kids. You know, you're right. Don't be angry at her. Just who cares if she's seeing a guy or whatever she's doing. Let her go. Yeah. It gives you more time with your kids. But the idea is still of a woman believing that her children are her property and that she decides, you know, when they're with you. And she's essentially giving you a little scrap here and there as a big favor, like you're a dog, you know. And once in a while,
she's trying to control me.
Yeah, sick. And the truth is that you don't have to be in that situation. You should have orders that are approximately half and half. and your lawyer, you know, I don't know the person, you're saying it's this woman lawyer. I wouldn't use a woman lawyer as a matter of principle. But in general, when you're talking about litigation and fighting head to head, which is what family law is, you need the testosterone behind you. That's the bottom line. And I have not seen too many women lawyers who are very good at the whole thing. But the reality is, in all fairness, whoever she was, or if it was a guy, filing papers late and being stupid in court and losing is not impressive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about time to ask for your money back and get someone else.
Okay. And what are my options for, from here going forward?
I don't know exactly the history. You'll have to show me. But, I mean, the first thing I would do is revisit that petition. Unless you're not telling me the whole story and there's some kind of child abuse or some nonsense, there's no reason you shouldn't have equal custody. I'm always amazed at how many guys just go home, you know, kind of quietly into the night with their tail between their legs and don't fight, you know?
Yeah, actually, that's kind of the way I felt after we left. I was like, dude, there's no fight. There's no, I mean, granted, I'm expected to argue with the attorney, I mean, with the judge.
Wow.
But I kind of felt like she drove the show. Kind of, by she, I mean my ex-wife. She kind of drove the show. She had complete control. I didn't get anything.
Yeah, it's not fair.
And then there was another incident that happened maybe in October. Because one of the habits we had is that on the weekends that I didn't have them, on the Saturdays that I didn't have them, I'd go to the house that we own, kind of play PlayStation with them for half an hour. After that, I would just put him to bed, then go to where I live now.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I think her single mom, that's another bad thing. She has a bunch of single mom friends.
Okay.
They kind of brainwashed her. So basically, I'm there playing PlayStation, and then she says, you got to leave. I'm like, okay, don't worry about it. I'll just put him to bed. She goes, no, you got to leave now. I'm like, okay, whatever. I get him ready for bed. Put him to bed, and then she said, then as I walk out, she says, the cops are coming. I'm like,
all right, dude, come on. What are you? She's being an asshole. Why are you putting yourself into that position? You know, you're basically supplicating to her. You're doing what she wants. You're letting her run the show, right? And then she's obviously ruthless. She's ready to have you arrested for what, trespassing? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. I don't know where she called the police.
No, she's a sick person, obviously.
And then she started crying in front of the cops, and they didn't even listen to me.
Of course,
they were like,
a woman will put on a big show. Oh my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah, I know the whole story. Exactly what happened.
Okay, and you, I'm afraid to say, walked right into that one. Okay, there's no reason that you should be in the house that she lives in. You know, futzing around with the PlayStation. Your kids should be with you at your place. You know?
Well, I mean, I right now I realize that, but we had been doing that for like...
Yeah, why?
Two months and...
Why? Why do you want to have your foot in the door at her place? Who cares?
Well, I own the house, too.
Doesn't matter. The ownership of the house is no longer relevant. It's going to be something that obviously she's going to be getting something, or you're going to have to sell it or do something with it. But you've moved out.
Yeah, actually, in the court order, we agreed to sell the house.
All right, so you got to stop pretending that you're her husband, okay? You're divorcing her. You don't go to her house anymore.
It's just like a habit I had.
No, you don't go to her house when you're getting divorced, okay? No habit. It's nonsense. You're asking for it. And sooner or later, she's going
to
call the cops, and there it is.
Well,
I think that was a good advice. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm surprised your attorney didn't discuss these things with you, because... You know, that kind of thing is, you know, asking for a confrontation. And you're lucky that she's not completely insane, because I've seen it where she punches herself in the face, gives herself a black eye, and then when the cops come, she says that you did it to her. So I think you got off easy.
Maybe sometime before that, a little before that. But the other one, I really wouldn't talk to her.
Yeah.
I just went into the restroom. I came out. And an argument started. And generally when that happens, I would just leave. And she just told me to hit her. I'm like, no, I'd rather leave. So I walked out.
Why are you having these confrontations with Miss Crazy? Seriously,
the thing is, drama?
I did
it for my... Because I'd pick them up at the house. I used to pick them up at the house.
So you're doing this doing this in front of the kids, no less?
No. Well, he'd be asleep or... Or kind of outside.
Okay, listen, you got to stop this nonsense, okay? You got to get yourself a real lawyer and start fighting back, okay?
Okay.
What I'm hearing is you're still in love with this woman and you think you're going to get back with her somehow, okay?
No, no, I mean, I don't, I just want, I just want my half of the assets.
Right.
And 50-50 custody. I don't want to get back with her.
That's why, hold on, in order to be fair and get your half and all, you've hired a weak lawyer, you're walking into her house, you're letting her run the show in court. Something's missing here.
No, that's it. Basically, I caught her cheating because I hired a private investigator.
Why did you even bother to do that? Who cares if she was cheating? If you're getting divorced, this is a no-fault state, okay?
Yeah,
there's
correct.
There's no
correct.
Such thing as a faithful woman. So you had one that was cheating, big surprise. Who cares? And you spent money on a detective to prove that she was cheating? To prove,
well,
it, prove
see,
it
I didn't
to
know
who?
That we were in a no-fault state until after.
Is this California we're talking about?
Yes, California.
Okay, well, I would have consulted before I spent thousands of dollars on a detective because you wasted money. It's stupid. It's not relevant.
Yeah, well, I wasted
you know for
I
sure
like
that she's, well, whatever. That's now it. You know for sure she's cheating. Does it make you feel better to know that?
No.
Okay. So why bother?
Well, I guess my going forward, I'm going to hopefully I'll contact you tomorrow. Would that be good?
Yeah, no problem. You can talk to Dino and he'll give you my contact information. But I really think it's important that you think about what you're telling me tonight, which sounds to me like you're a little ambivalent about this. And this woman is screwing you because you're letting her screw you. Okay? You got to get it clear in your mind. She may be the mother of your children, but you're not going to be with her anymore. And who she's
yeah,
with
correct.
And what she's doing is not relevant. And if your number is 911, that's a problem because you're going to call me someday, except you're going to be in jail talking about, Adam, I got arrested. What do I do now? Okay? Not cool.
No, no. Well, that one incident was the only thing that happened. I haven't gone back to the house at all.
I'm glad to hear it.
And all the drop-offs and pickups of my son have been, like, at public places.
So why are you using a woman lawyer and letting yourself get screwed?
Excuse me?
Why are you using a woman lawyer and allowing yourself to get screwed?
I used a woman lawyer only because a friend of mine recommended her.
Okay. I understand.
So that's kind of, because at first I called the civil attorney, because she filed the petition to for divorce first.
Why is that? Why did you allow her to file first?
Well, initially I didn't want to pay for an attorney. A couple of my buddies didn't use one. They used a mediator.
So the fact is, the fact that you have kids and a couple of your idiot friends used a mediator and took a chance like that, you planned on not using a lawyer and allowed her to get the jump on you by filing first.
Well, that's how it folded, but we agreed that we were going to go to a mediator, save ourselves some bucks. And then, we had agreed on everything. 50-50 custody,
really?
With the assets.
Apparently not. She doesn't seem to agree. She seems happy sticking it to you with 2 hours a week and every other weekend.
So
how did that no lawyer do it with a mediator thing work out?
No, it didn't work out at all.
Right. Please be careful.
The thing is,
it's your children, man. I know, but it's your children. You shouldn't be leaving it to chance when it's your children. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I hate to see you lose the house. And this other guy who called, the ex-wife owes him $8,000 or whatever. I hate to lose money. But when it comes to your children, you cannot leave it to chance. It's too important. You have to be careful and you have to make sure that you get your rights as a father because the courts will roll over you and not even notice. You know?
Okay.
And you want to be able to tell your kids someday, whatever happens, when they're young adults and they're in college and they're in their 20s and they're pissed off, and you say, I just want you guys to know that I did everything I could and your mother gave me a hard time and I never gave up. And that's going to be really important for them to hear, and it has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't putz around with a mediator and your friend told you and hope for the best and hopefully the judge will get the papers on time. Bullshit. You don't take any chances when it comes to your kids. And when your lawyer screwed up the way she did, you should have been furious with her. And you should have said to her, what the hell is wrong with you? You're no longer my lawyer. You are, consider yourself fired right now. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, that's what I told her. I said, why was this late? We're outside the, it was
no, you
in
know
downtown
what?
LA.
I honestly wouldn't even have asked her, why is this late? I would have said to her, it's late. Get your stuff and get the fuck out of here. Okay?
Okay.
I'm serious. Unacceptable behavior. Unacceptable. And by the way, if I did that, I would expect the same from you. If I was an idiot and I filed everything late, I would expect you to be furious with me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this thing about, well, you know, can you explain it? Well, I meant this, and I'm sorry, and it's because of this reason, and I was filing financial documents, and I did them all together, and it's really the other lawyer's fault because he was late with papers, blah, 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 blah. Not interested. I should have gotten equal custody, and instead I'm only seeing my kids twice a month. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's your fault, and it's unacceptable, and I want it fixed right now. Okay? That's the difference. And when it comes to your kids, you've got to fight. You've got to be willing to fight because you see that women mentally and emotionally are childish and childlike in their thinking. And this woman that you were married to was agreeing 50-50, and now she's pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and she's getting away with it, and so she's going to go as far as she can. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so please contact me, and we'll work on this, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, I'll put you on with Dean. He'll hook you up with Adam. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, Tom, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out online on Facebook, or you can check the World Wide Web for www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love and I answer personally, Adam@AdamLawyer.com.
All right, there you go. Adam Sachs. And by the way, if you missed your chance to talk with Adam, don't worry. Adam will be back. He'll be back on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
El Chapo is claiming he's being sexually harassed by a Mexican prison guard.
What? Why would you mess with the chops?
Well, guy apparently, when he goes to check him, does a little more than that. It's kind of like what happened to you with the TSA. You know, the blue glove.
Yeah, well, they get away with it over there.
Right. Well, apparently they do in Mexican prison as well, but...
Well, they're in big trouble because you mess with the head of the Sinaloa cartel, you're going to have some explaining to do.
I don't know.
How about you just do your job, not mess with them?
Mm-hmm. He says, this officer does not touch me to check me. He handles me.
Yeah. Well, Chops better be accustomed to flying, private jets, because he's going to get the handling part if he does come through TSA. So that's my word of the wise to him.
Now, what's the deal now? Does he want to be extradited
or not? Hell no. No way. Because he's got a better shot at getting out of that prison just on the other side of the border there than he will in Supermax here in the United States.
Well, that's what I thought, but it seems like he's trying to get out of there.
He could build another tunnel or bribe somebody to get out of that place, but he doesn't like it because it's not the same type of. He had this last prison was built for him.
Yeah,
it had like a nice pool table.
Drug lord deserves that.
It was unbelievable what he had. This prison is a rough prison. So
right. This case has finally made it to court. A Massachusetts woman returning from a 12-day trip to Greece testifying in Brooklyn court today about a sexual assault aboard a flight home. This is where the dude, apparently she woke up, grabbed her by the shoulder, then her titty, and then he started like macking on her and stuff. He says he fell asleep. And he thought he was in his own bed, and he was grabbing a pillow. Or his girlfriend. He couldn't remember which. But his girlfriend was on the same flight. She was only like six seats away.
By the way, I guess she screamed, no, stop.
Yeah, and he pulled her towards him and said, no, it's okay. So I don't,
wow.
So I don't know how that's going to end up, but it's an interesting, you know, perspective to say, well, I was kind of like half asleep, and I thought it was my girlfriend.
I guess our friend claims he suffers from sleep apnea and feared flying after a previously turbulent trip from Jamaica. I don't know how that translates to, I need a pillow, I'm asleep, and grab, but we'll see what happens in this court of law.
Mm-hmm. Around these parts, they call her Glorious. Around other parts, they call her Gloria Allred.
Yes.
She appeared today with one of the women who accused Donald Trump of sexual misconduct last year. She has now filed a defamation lawsuit against the president-elect.
Glorious will prevail.
You think so?
As she always does. She wins with me.
All right. Apparently, Donald Trump's spokesperson, Hope Hicks, said in a statement, more of the same from Gloria Allred. There's no truth to this absurd story.
They say it's totally made-up nonsense.
There's some grabbing her by the pussy and stuff there.
Yeah.
I guess there was unwanted kissing and tit grabbing.
Well, Piotis hasn't even taken his first day in as
it could be up president. Against some serious shit.
Yeah.
Yep. And finally, a sex tape of boxer Amir Khan has leaked online after long rumors of its existence. Your boy is in all kinds of trouble because he married this crazy model. His family doesn't like the model. They were fighting. She's hot, by the way, I'd like to point out. Unbelievable. But he then, threatened to kill himself, basically, because they wouldn't stop fucking fighting, his family and this broad. But then it's, like, well known that this guy has fucked around, like, repeatedly. And this particular Skype tape, apparently, was supposedly taped after he married this broad.
Right.
Like, freshly married.
I guess our girl here, in this case, the hot married one there, is disgusted with the video, which has now been published on a major porn site.
Yeah.
The woman in question in the video is from Arizona and an old fling of the boxer back from 2010.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look good for your boy, dude.
Yeah. If he thinks he just has to fight in the ring, he's sorely mistaken.
Outside of the ring.
With these two broads yelling and screaming, I mean, it's a disaster. God.
20 more newsforguys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.